I wanted to focus on some gifts this morning, direct from God. The seven godly gifts kids need from parents. And I'm hard on parents. I know that. And I'm pretty tough when it comes to kids. But I just love kids. I love kids. And I want them to have every break they can possibly have. I was a horrible parent for that attitude. Well, Jason, my son, Dad, I just don't feel like going to school today. I was in school at Southern at that time. I said, okay, let's stay home. Now, what kind of a father would do that? We build a tent there in the living room, wrestle. I knew there must have been something going on at school. He just didn't want to face. Fathers, have mercy. Sometimes we break rules, the rules of man. But God says, when you're going to do it in love. For God so loved, he came down. A father's love is so great. Met with his kid, and whatever you do, hope and pray that he don't call mama in too. Because you see, God says, I love you. I'm thinking about you. Do you know there's not a second in time since time began and before creation that God wasn't thinking about you? God is thinking about you. He never ceases thinking about you. And what he's thinking is this, I just love you. Isn't that something? I just love you. Now, we think about some people in our lives, and that's not always the attitude we have. I just love you. But that's the attitude God has toward you and me. Said, I'm a loving father. I will watch after my children. But he says, here's what I want you parents to do. And I'm going to give you the scriptures here. You'll have it in your bulletin. Keep it with you. Learn it. Parents. Seven godly gifts kids need from their parents. Psalm 127, verse 3. You need to understand this, fathers, parents. Children are a gift from the Lord. Children are a gift from the Lord. But now, that child is a temporary gift for you, parent. You hear me? It's a gift from God. But God will not allow his gift to be mistreated. He will intervene. But he intervenes in ways that you and I don't understand. I've seen him take children home to be with him, knowing the background of what was going on in those situations, and think, how many people are going to believe that was such a blessing that God took that child? You and I don't always see blessings as blessings. You don't know the disease that's waiting 2 days later, or the horror that could take place. God does. And he said, parents, children are a gift from me, but I shall reclaim them. I'm giving them to you so you can have that spark of life. But I will reclaim my child. Age has nothing to do with me being a child of God. God does not see my age as old. God sees me as his child. Age and time are no concept of God in eternity. No such thing as time. That's for us here on planet Earth. And in order for us to be humble, to realize the greatness of God our Father, he lets us get old. And we get all crinkly, and our bones don't straighten out, and our fingers get so crooked the keyboard doesn't know what you're typing. You know what I mean? But I'm still a child of a king. I got to turn this body in pretty soon. Just about shot. Got to turn it in pretty soon. That's okay. I got a new one. I told you all earlier, it's so shiny, that chrome will be so polished, it's the heavenly body. And God says, I love you. Children are a gift from God. Accepted gift from God to you. Doesn't a child sparkle? You know, I know parents get aggravated when babies start crying. I love it. I mean, there's some kind of life breathing in the churches. I was listening to a report yesterday about the Southern Baptist Convention. Some of you all have seen some of it on the news. The churches are multiplying, the church building. Baptisms have dropped and continue to drop. Members are there on the roll, but they're not in the pew. They're no longer going to church. So the focus has been, and it had been for a few years, reach out to the younger generation. Revive them and revive the church. You notice some of the new church buildings going up, sort of psychedelic type of brick and stone and all. That's okay. If young folks see that and go in, as long as they hear the gospel, and the churches that I know around here, they hear the gospel, folks. The gospel is preached. I don't care how big it is. The gospel is preached. That's the key. But what happened to us? Many will say then, well, then you go to church for entertainment. Well, let me tell you a story. I'm glad I printed that out for you all. Read it. Let me tell you a story. I remember well in the Edna Grove area down in Greene County in the old days when I was a kid. You know what everybody looked forward to? Revival. Woo! We're going to have a revival. Why, that revival could go 1, 2, 3, 4 weeks at a time. And they was singing, and the Baptists could only dance outside the building. They raised the windows on the church, great big tall windows. They raised these rays. Well, please don't try that. He's put in 1948. Think of this. But do you know what people talked about? They just going for their entertainment. There weren't any movie theaters to go to out of Greene County or in any of that area. But that was the entertainment. And we had dinner on the ground. And in those days, we had dinner on the ground. And you heard the laughter. You would hear talking about your dad singing, Brother Randy. You would hear different groups around. Whether they'd go out in the woods, you'd hear one, my granddaddy would pray. And he would echo from holler to holler. You know, you could hear him pray. That's Pappy Sam praying. Revivals going on. And different groups would sing. And I don't know, there was such a spirit. It just like it filled the air. And the critics said, that's just entertainment. I got news for you. You're going to have some of the greatest entertainment you have ever experienced one day. And it's in heaven. There's going to be shouting all the way up, all the way through. Woo! I'm going to love that. If I could hear my mother pray again. If I could hear her tender voice, and then so glad I'd be, 'twould mean so much to me if I could hear my mother pray again. Remember that song? That was way, way back, Brother Randy, and I remember hearing. Now this is family. This is what Father's Day, Mother's Day is about. And I would remember well, I watched my little 80-pound grandmother come to the front of the church. She got on her knees beside this guy that was lost, obviously. I'd never seen this before. I'd never heard my grandmother shout before. Never. You talk about scary, but she got on her knees and she started singing, "Won't you come by, Lord? Won't you come by? There's a soul needing saving, Lord. Won't you come by? And I mean, the chills just went all over me. Every hair was standing up. I had a lot of them. Won't you come by, Lord? Won't you come by? You see, they said that's entertainment. That was worship. That was hearts that cared about souls needing saving. What good does it do us to fill the churches and there's no baptisms, there's no souls being saved? What good does it do? That's entertainment. But worship. So listen well. First of all, kids need compassion. Be compassionate to your children, fathers. Show affection, attention, and affirmation. Well, it's not, I wouldn't have done it that way, kid. Would you get off your high horse, Daddy? Affirm what they have attempted to do. It's beautiful. I never saw a bad picture my son drew. And I turned them every direction to try to figure out what they were. Know what I mean? God has done with love. Affirm it. You remember the idea? You walk in the door and you open the door and you've got four kids in there. And all of them are quiet. And you slowly pull that door to. You don't say a word. Why? Because they're quiet. Don't say anything because they might not be quiet the next moment. But you hear them arguing, fussing, and fighting. Don't make me come up there. We would fuss at them when they're doing something wrong, but would not thank them and say what a blessing they are when they were quiet or being nice to each other. Maybe because we were so amazed. What's wrong with those kids? One brother did not punch the other one out today. Are they sick? Show compassion to your children. They make a mistake. They do dumb things like you never did. Number two, kids need counsel. That's direction, advice, or wisdom. Give them that wisdom. Let me read 1 John 4:7 on you. Practice loving each other, for love comes from God. Love is a practice. It's a learned gift from God, love is. I'm not easy to love. Y'all ain't working on too hot either, you know. Love is learned. Learned. You remember? Older women teach the younger women how to love their husbands. Really? I thought love was just automatic. No. It's a learned experience to a thing called life that God has given us. Show them counsel, direction, give them advice, give them wisdom. Doesn't have to be your wisdom. You might not be old enough to have any yet. But share wisdom with them. Deuteronomy 6:7. You must teach these commandments to your children and talk about them when you are at home or out for a walk, at bedtime, and the first thing in the morning. Counsel. Remember me saying, tell the stories. Tell them the stories of life. Number three, kids need correction. That they do. They don't need their arms broke. Maybe threatening. You know what I mean, don't you? I love you. Do you know why kids never get too worried when they have parents they know that love them? Because they know what you say you're going to do, you're not going to do it. Because you love them. But they don't have to do it. Dad's already scared you so bad you think he's going to do it. And then you realize something. Love comes in. When love kicks in, kids need that correction of discipline, accountability, and training. When a child is wrong, tell them you're wrong. Teach them to hold their tongue. You might have to pull the tongue out a couple of times. But teach them to control it. They need that from us. Dad, Proverbs 19:18, correct your children while there is still hope. Do not let them destroy themselves. Teach them while there's hope. You get to a point in life, Brother Randy, you look and say, doesn't do me any good to say anything else. And then all of a sudden you realize what you have said over the years is just now sinking in. And that's why you get so happy when they have children of their own and watch them go through the same torture. But God says, I want you to do it right so they don't destroy themselves. Ephesians 4, verse 29, first part. Don't use harmful words. Use only helpful words that build up. I'm going to give you some stats in a moment. Only helpful words that build up. Number four, kids need confidence. Here's your key. Give 10 praises for every negative. 10 praises for every negative. You know what's amazing about that idea? By the time you think up 10 praises, you forgot what the negative was. You look back on whippings that you got, kids, when you were young, and now you look back on them and you have to chuckle. At the time, I went and got a switch for my mother to whip me with, and it had so many leaves on it, there wasn't any way in the world she could get them all off by the time I got away. I got one time I was completely rotten. I brought her a bigger one to use on me. And as soon as she brought it back, because she'd have used it, it just fell apart. And she started laughing. And as soon as she started laughing, I took off. You remember that stuff? I look back and chuckle at them. Colossians 3:21. Don't scold your children so much that they become discouraged and quit trying. How many times do I have to tell you how to get that done and do it right? Well, parents, back off. Perhaps you should show them once instead of telling them. Maybe they would learn faster. I want to read stats to you. I don't think I've printed those for you, but I want you to see them. Barna Research stats, Christian organization. 85% of all third graders have strong self-esteem. 85%. By junior high, that figure had dropped to 65%. By high school graduation, only 5% registered high self-esteem. What in the world has happened? By high school graduation, only 5% had registered high self-esteem. Starts at home. I can tell you how it happens. Home. Not where it's easy, but where love resides. Home! Not a palace. But when that kid walks through that door and shuts that door, they should feel as safe as if they're in a palace in heaven. Because they know they're loved. They know they're protected. Nobody gonna mess with me in my home. Look at number five. Kids need fun. I love having fun with kids. I love to see their eyes sparkle. I love spending money on them. I like giving them so much candy they get sick and I say, well, you know, I taught them a lesson on that one. And I get the rest of the peanut butter fudge. Ecclesiastes 11:8. People ought to enjoy every day of their lives no matter how long they live. That's not easy, is it? But I ought to enjoy it knowing that I don't have to be stuck in that body much longer. Number six, kids need challenges. Responsibility. Here's what I want you to do. I want you to go out. You're responsible for that blade of grass over there. Start with a blade of grass. Do not give them weed killer because half your yard will be dead. They'll take care of that blade of grass. Luke 16, verse 10 and 12. Whoever can be trusted with a little can also be trusted in a lot. And if you can't be trusted with things that belong to someone else, who will give you things of your own? Number 7, kids need consistency from parents. I know some parents that are consistently grouchy. At least they're consistent. The kid knows what they're going to end up with at home. How's mom? How's dad? Well, now you know, dad had this happen today. Okay, I know the mood he is. At least it's consistent. Dad's in a bad mood. Everybody clear out. Lock him in time out. Consistency. Psalm 145:13-17. The Lord is faithful to all his promises and fair in all that he does. Proverbs 24:3. It takes wisdom to have a good family, and it takes understanding to make it strong. I understand kids are going to mess up, because I was once a kid and I messed up a lot. I understand messing up, but I don't understand fathers that don't have enough love and respect for their children to forgive them. See, we hurt ourselves so often. Is that not punishment enough? I told you at the beginning of this message, the punishment for the Christian who sins is the sin. I don't get that, Brother Larry. You will. You will. Be at peace, my friends, for the Scriptures give us hope from a Father who understands our weaknesses, our frailties, our hurts, our idiosyncrasies, and all the little chips in that brain that have seemed to have shorted out over the years. And he says, I love you. Let's pray. Father, we thank you for your love. We thank you for your hope. We thank you for your understanding, Father, for you are the creator of understanding. You're the creator of love. You're the creator of hope. And you came down to live the human existence, the human experience. Thank you, Father, for conquering all my experiences and giving me hope for peace and for your love. We ask that blessing now as you touch our life. In Jesus' name, amen.